Would you open your Bibles, please, this morning to Philippians chapter 3. I want to jump kind of in the middle of the text this morning. You may have noticed it in your bulletin or in the program and on the handout there that when the going gets tough, you know, the temptation when you're invited out to speak somewhere, I know the other guys will feel the same, is always to think, well, wow, you know, my church is the only one that probably needs these messages, but these people out in Ohio, they've got it all together, you know. They always live victorious, and they don't have any spiritual battles, and they've just, you know, they've got it together out there. But then you have to be snapped back to reality and realize that, you know, when you walk with the Lord, there are times of struggle, aren't there? And we're not always victorious. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say we are always victorious? But we are not always victorious, are we? In our walk with the Lord. And so I trust that our messages together in these next hours will just help us to see some practical things that will guide us and strengthen us and make us more determined to just live for the Lord and walk with God and do what's right, do what pleases the Lord. And we will find that Satan will oppose that so drastically and desperately. But Philippians chapter 3, let me just begin at verse 10. And read down just perhaps as far as verse 16. It says, that I may know him, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Isn't that a precious phrase? This one thing I do. We live in a very complex time, don't we? It'd be wonderful if we as Christians, I think we'd find more victory in our lives if we begin to be more focused on the things that really matter. And so Paul says, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Dear God, this morning we thank you for what we have been able to hear and see and share together already in this conference. We thank you, Lord, for being such a faithful God. We thank you, dear God, that we can be part of your kingdom here and, Lord, one day be with you forever. What a glorious future we have. Help us to realize, dear God, that you have a job for us to do. Help us to realize, Lord, even this morning, even throughout this day, in this conference, though we may have been invited by a pastor or a family member or a friend, Lord, help us to realize that first of all and foremost, we are here by divine appointment because you have something for us. And we pray, dear God, that we may get that as we listen, as we apply Lord, and as we have a submissive heart, in Jesus' name, amen. The overall theme of my messages for you, our time together, the overall theme will be simply this, when the going gets tough. But each session, I want to give you just kind of one main point, and then help you fill in the blanks on the little handout that I'll give you each time for us to be just taking home with us. And so don't be afraid to use these things. I say this often when I preach because, you know, everything I've gotten from someone, somewhere along the line, and that the Lord has blessed my heart with through his word and through others that have been preaching and teaching the word for many years. And so don't be afraid to use whatever you put down on that paper, whatever the outline may be, that may be of help to you somewhere. Someone mentioned to me, I think it was one of our professors in college years ago, that the art of originality is simply forgetting where you heard it from. So people with the poorest memories are the most original, so I'm getting more original as the years go by. You know, some of you can identify with that, I'm sure. But remaining faithful to God's purpose and His plan for your life, for my life, is an extremely important thing, but it is very often very, very difficult. It is not easy to walk with God. It is not easy to be faithful to the Lord. And you know, dear friends, I want to remind us of this morning. It's not only that it is not easy, it is not automatic. You will not live a victorious Christian life automatically, just because you're a child of God, just because you're born again. Let's think this morning about this. You will never stand before God someday. You will never stand before Him someday and give an account of your life and be able to say, you know what? Really, I have lived a victorious Christian life, but you know something? I never really thought much about it. Never thought much. Isn't that amazing? I lived a victorious Christian life, and boy, you know, I just made right decisions, and I was victorious over sin, and I just took care of things as they came along, and I lived a victorious Christian life, but I never really gave it much thought. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because the Christian life is about fighting. Did you know that? The Christian life is about fighting. We had to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. And the Bible teaches that it is a battle. We are in a warfare. And every day is a new struggle. Every day is a new battle. Every day is a time of confrontation with the things of the world and sin. It's not easy to live the Christian life. And it will never happen automatically. We live spiritually in a day of drifters. We live in a day of drifters spiritually. Multitudes of Christians today are just drifting. Are you drifting? Are you just drifting? If you're not meeting with God every day and finding that you struggle with the issues of life and right and wrong, if you don't find that your Christian life is a battle, then let me tell you something, you're just drifting. And you know, whatever is drifting goes the way of the current. Did you ever stand beside of a fast-running river and see a log going, just floating upstream? Did you ever see that happen? You never have and you never will, right? Because drifting always takes us downstream. It always takes us down. Don't be a drifter. So we must be faithful and realize that when the going gets tough, we have to be obedient to the Lord. Now, I was talking with Sharon last night, and when Sharon Burkheisen, I said, oh, you're going to hear this again. Because when we were talking, she mentioned about the title of the message, When the Going Gets Tough. And then she said, the tough keep going. I said, Sharon, you're going to hear that again. Because I'd already written in my notes already, not picking on you, Sharon, it was already there in my notes, that I wanted to mention to us, you know, we have that little saying, when the going gets tough, the tough will get going or keep going. Let me say to us, dear friends, this morning, that may be a nice little cliche for the world, but that does not work in the Christian life. Do you know why that does not work? Because that little phrase is very humanistic. That little phrase intimates that when the going gets tough, you'll just grab yourself by the bootstraps and you'll bolster up your determination and you'll just say, look, no matter what, I'm gonna just do what's right. And I'm gonna it's more about self-determination and about grit. You know, dear friends, listen to me this morning, you'll never have victory in your Christian life by self-determination and grit. So that little saying, when the going gets tough, the tough will get going, may work for the world, but it does not work for the child of God. There's a whole lot of truth in the little saying, again, that we've heard often. God does not ask us to be successful, but simply to be faithful. To be faithful. Oh, what a great truth that certainly is. Now, in this wonderful passage of Scripture that I've read for us this morning, and a very familiar passage, without doubt, for all of us, we must remember then that when the going gets tough, the Apostle Paul gives us here several things that we are to remember if we're going to be faithful. And if we don't remember these several things, and I want to cover one with you each time we're together, another today, then two for the group that will be here with us tomorrow from this area. But several things that the Apostle Paul talks about here that will stabilize us and see us through to victory in our lives when the going gets tough. And it has nothing to do with self-effort. It has nothing to do with self-determination. Nothing to do with sheer grit. And we will see that. And because there is no hope in all of that. So mark it down there in your notes if you desire to do so. And this will sound a little strange to you. The main point that I'll give you this morning, and we find it here in the text in verse 12. Let me read verse 12 again. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ." So here it is. First of all then, to a life of victory, number one, we must remember that our priority is to be progress, not perfection, so we need to really get with it. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? You say, well, you know, wait just a minute here. Because, you know, the Bible teaches that we have to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is perfect. And that is so very true, dear friends. That is so very true. And the Bible makes that very clear. But I want us to see the thrust of this text. When he says here, "Not as though I had already attained..." That is Christ-likeness. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Here is a part of the Christian life, dear friends, that many a Christian just seems to ignore, seems to pass over. Yes, one day we will be with Christ. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But right now we live in the nitty-gritty of the day-by-day grind of the here and now. And this is where the Christian life is lived out, isn't it? In this world that is not at all sympathetic to godliness and holiness and righteous living. This is where we live. And we must understand, first of all, this principle that our priority is to be progress, not perfection. At this moment, listen carefully. The goal of the believer's life is always perfection. The goal, the ultimate goal, is always perfection, Christ-likeness. We are to strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father has set that goal for us in Romans 8, 28, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, let me just pause here a moment and say something to you. During these sessions that I have with you, I want to be very bottom line with you. I want to be very, very bottom shelf, bottom line with you. I want to be kind. My goal is to be kind, but not necessarily to be gentle. Is that all right? We need that, don't we, in our Christian lives? Not necessarily kindness. We need kindness, but not necessarily gentleness. And so let's really get a grip on these things as we talk about them this morning. So we are, yes, the goal of our Christian life must be to be conformed to the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the altogether lovely one, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. He is the holy one. He is perfect. He is without spot or blemish. Oh, how thankful we can be. But, listen carefully, we will not reach that goal of complete Christ-likeness today or tomorrow. Or for that part, for that matter, until we see Him face to face. When we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And so I'm just trying to be honest with you, just honest with you, and I don't think I'm that much different, maybe except my accent, than any of you folk here this morning, that I struggle with these issues of the Christian life, and I have spiritual battles, but I want to be victorious. But I recognize that I will probably not reach that goal of complete Christ-likeness today or tomorrow, or for that matter, until Jesus comes. In 1 John 3:2, the Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That's perfection. That's the ultimate goal. But He goes on to say, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That's the priority of progress. That's progress. Where we have the ultimate goal, we are to be making progress in our Christian life. And the same spiritual clothing that fit us yesterday ought not to fit us today. And if the spiritual clothing that fits us today still fits us tomorrow and the next day, then we are what? We're drifters. We're not making any progress in our Christian walk. And therefore, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, dear friends, to say, I hate to say this as a pastor because my church is no different than the church here, any other church. I fear that we have forgotten how necessary spiritual growth is. We have forgotten that we cannot glorify the Lord unless we grow spiritually in our Christian walk. We have forgotten that we cannot fulfill God's ultimate purpose in our lives unless we are walking in faithfulness and reflecting the love and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and hell-bound world around us. You know, sad to say, many people think that salvation and God's plan of redemption is about them. You know, dear friends, salvation is not about us. Let me say something to us that may make you kind of wonder, why do we invite this guy here? But I want to say to you this morning that God's ultimate intention for you and for me is not for us to be saved and go to heaven. God's ultimate purpose, His ultimate plan, His very best for us is not that we become born again and someday go live with Him forever in heaven. His ultimate purpose for us is that we live to glorify His name. That His name be glorified. That His name be exalted. And going to heaven is just one of the great fringe benefits that God gives to us. You know, God could have said, well, I'm going to have a plan of redemption. I'm going to save you, and so you'll be saved throughout this life here on earth and glorify me and fulfill my purpose to glorify my name, and then annihilation. Are you going to disappear? I'm being kind of facetious, but, you know, we have a God who would never do that. But we need to get this into context, dear friends, that God's ultimate goal is not with us in the center. God's ultimate goal is that He be glorified through our lives. And dear friends, unless we are walking with Him and pleasing Him, you know, we hear people say, what a shame it is. We hear people say, well, you know, as long as you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Well, what about all that time in between? What about all that time that we miss God's best for our lives and that we miss doing God's work? What about all of that time that we don't honor the name of Christ and exalt His name? Oh, dear friends, listen, we need to be walking with God and exalting. We need to be growing spiritually, making progress. Now, in this process of progress in your Christian walk, let me share something with you that's been a real help to me. In this process of progress, even through the times of failure in our Christian walk, there will be times of failure. And I want to suggest to us this morning that in those times of failure, when you stumble and fall spiritually, you will do one of two things. Every Christian will fall at some point, in some way, to some degree, spiritually. And when you and I do, we will always, every one of us, do one of two things. We will either fall forward or we will fall backward, spiritually. We'll either fall forward or we will fall backward, spiritually. And there is a big, big difference. Someone has wisely said that the highway of history is littered with multitudes of professing Christians who have failed and fallen backward and remained horizontal and never to stand vertical again in their Christian life. What a sad thing that is. What a sad thing that is. The person who falls backward is the person who gives up on God. The person who gives up on God, gives up on the Bible, gives up on prayer, gives up on church, and even gives up on other Christians. And they spend the rest of their Christian life wallowing in the mire of one failure after another. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that you could look at and say, that has happened to them? Years ago, they fell spiritually. They had some great spiritual failure in their life, and they fell backwards because since that time, they've never again stood up. They've been horizontal the rest of their life. They've never again spiritually been vertical, standing and walking with God. You know, there may be some of you right here in this auditorium this morning like that. I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you are at spiritually. But perhaps you've had something in your life, and since that time you have been very cold and indifferent to the things of God. Maybe you've come to this conference because you felt, well, I was invited, I might as well go and see what Ohio is like, and so forth and so on. But maybe you would have to say, Pastor Philbrick, look, this is kind of my life. And it's been a long time since I was vertical in my Christian life, and certainly I have fallen backward. Then there are those Christians who, when they fail, they fall forward. And they don't end up in utter defeat and spiritual disaster, but through confession and forgiveness and restoration. And through reaching out their hand and putting their hand in the hand of God and letting God pick them up, knowing that He forgives their sin, knowing that He will put the pieces, the broken pieces, back together, and they can have a life of service and fellowship with God and usefulness and a life of blessing. Maybe there are many of you here this morning like that. And you will have to say, thank you, Lord. Yes, I have fallen. I have failed. But thank God I didn't fail backwards and fall backwards. I fell forward. And through confession and forgiveness, God has restored me to walk with Him. And you know, dear friends, the Christian family is not made up of perfect saints, is it? You know, when you're going through a struggle in your Christian life, you're going through a real spiritual battle in your Christian life, and you need someone to talk with. Oh, I know who you try to find. You try to find someone that you say, that person has never had a failure in their life. That person, they are just the greatest saint I've ever known. I've never known them to let me down. I've never known them to fail. I've never known them to go through a spiritual battle. So I'm going to go talk with them. Say, are you kidding? I avoid those kind of people. You know who you're going to look for? The same ones I look for. You're going to look for someone that you know has gone through some spiritual struggles but has gained victory in their life. Somebody who's not fallen backward but has fallen forward, and they have allowed God to forgive them, and they've made things right, and they've gone on to walk with God and be a testimony and let God use their lives. You're going to go to them and say, look, help me. I know you'll understand what I'm going through. Oh, dear friends, such an important principle. There are three things that will characterize a person who falls forward when he fails. You may be asking the question this morning in your mind, how can I really tell if I'm falling forward or backward when I fail? That'd be a good question to answer, wouldn't it? How can I tell? You may be saying all honesty in your heart, Pastor Phil, but just tell us, how can I tell if when I fail the Lord, which I pray that I won't, but if that time comes, or when that time comes that I feel I have failed the Lord, failed God's people, how can I tell if I'm falling forward or backward? Let me give you three things. I think there are three things that will characterize the person who falls forward when he fails. And these are such simple things. Number one, the person who falls forward and not backward in his spiritual struggle, he will remain faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to the Word of God. Because that is his spiritual food. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, meditate on the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Sin will keep us from the word, and oftentimes, and the word will keep us from sin, but oftentimes, shame to say, if we fall backward, sin will keep us from the word of God. But the Bible makes it so clear. For instance, in Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Psalm 119, 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we're to meditate in it day and night, the scripture says. But those who fall backward will stop having a time and place with God. Let me ask you this morning, dear friends, one of the most important things in your life is a time and place with God every day. You know, I labor this with my church family because I've realized over the years several things. I've realized, first of all, that your testimony and your spiritual battles and your victory will stand or fall oftentimes not on the preacher's sermon, not on what you hear on television or radio, not on what you read in good gospel literature. Your testimony will, and your walk with God will stand or fall many times on your, and most of the time, or all the time in reality, on your personal relationship with God in that special time and place. Can I be real harsh with you this morning? As a child of God, if you've been saved for any length of time, shame on you if you don't have a time and place with God every day. You know, I say every day. I mean, you know, there are days that come and go when circumstances, situations, when we put our head on the pillow at night and we say, Lord, forgive me. Things didn't go so well with me today, but Lord, I think I know why they didn't. And you know, I would never dare say that the time and place ought to be here or there or this time or that time, because we're all different, aren't we? Some of us are morning people. You know, how many of you not morning people are married to a morning person? Oh, it's an aggravation in life, isn't it? You know, and why we opposites attract, don't they? They sure do. Opposites attract. You know, I'm a morning person. Well, let me put it this way. One of us in our family is not a morning person. Let me just leave it at that, right? I have a long flight home with my wife. A time and place. What I'm saying is that, you know, you may be very comfortable for your time to be middle morning, afternoon. You know, I want to say, you know, I don't think that disturbs the Lord necessarily. I think the example from Christ is that early morning before the day starts. But you know, if you're not a morning person, and well, let's just assume the Lord Jesus was a morning person. But you know, it's not where and when is not the issue. The issue is to have a time and place to meet with God, to meet with Him every day. Have a time and place. Make it a faithful thing. Make it a habit of your life. Oh, that is so very important. I want to tell you the first sign of a person falling backward and not forward in their Christian life is that they stop having a time and place with God. And then secondly, they will remain faithful to the work of God. A person who falls forward and not backward will remain faithful to the work of God. You know, I have a question for us this morning that has disturbed me in my Christian life ever since I can remember, and more so now as a pastor. Why is it that when we say we're born again Christians and we love the Lord, but that Satan deals us a blow and somebody criticizes or somebody does something to us that is not justified, we don't think we deserve that, and our feelings are hurt, and we're not appreciated, or Satan gets a victory in some area, some way of our life. Why is it I am dead serious on this question. Why is it the first thing we do is say, well, the first thing I need to do is just get God out of my way? Why is it that the first thing that we do is say, the thing that we need the most, the fellowship of God's people, the house of God, the warmth and the support of God's people. And why is it that we say right off, well, I guess I won't go to church. You know, I got this problem. And so the first thing I need to do is just get God in the church out of the way. Kind of get them out of the way. Then I can deal with this problem. You know, I find I find myself so frustrated over that sometimes. And I go to Christians' homes, and I'm sure your pastor could say the same, Pastor Bill and other ones here in ministries, that we've been to dear believers' homes and said, look, we've missed you in church. Well, you know, I got this problem, you know, and excuses and so forth. And, well, you know, you really need to be in the house of God. If you've got this problem, why are you not coming? And just, even if you just come and sit and listen and absorb, you know, I'll tell you why, dear friends, because that person has fallen backward and not forward in their Christian life. And the born-again Christian who falls forward in his Christian life, he will remain faithful to the Word of God. He will maintain his time and place. He may not feel like... Do you always feel like praying? No! Don't look at me with that pious face. You know? Be honest with me. So many times that you don't feel like praying or reading the Bible. But that's what Ephesians, Paul says, be in season and out of season, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Some wise old servant said regarding prayer, pray when you do feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. And pray until you do feel like it. You know, that's kind of a little rule of thumb. That may be in Hezekiah, a verse of scripture somewhere, I think. But a wonderful, wonderful thought for us. So, first of all, the person who falls forward and not backward will remain faithful to the Word of God, his time and place with God. Secondly, he will remain faithful to the work of God. He will seek the support and the encouragement and the restoration of God's people to help him and love him through that. And thirdly, they will remain faithful to the will of God. You see, the Word of God is our spiritual food, the work of God is our spiritual fellowship, and the will of God is our spiritual fulfillment. Oh, how satisfying it is to do the will of God, to serve God. Oh, I know, and so have you known and do know, wonderful people that loved the Lord, walked with God for years, but fell backward somehow in their Christian life, never to be vertical again. And they're not serving the Lord anymore. And they're sad, they're sorrowful, their countenance demonstrates that awful horror of, oh, if I could just go back, if I could just go back. Let me say something encouraging to you this morning. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And though that plan may be delayed by failure, it need not be defeated by failure. Though it may be delayed by failure, it need not be defeated by failure if we will determine by God's grace to always fall forward and not backward. We think of Jonah, for instance. He failed the Lord, but he didn't fall backward because he went on to serve the Lord and do God's will. You know, I've often said this. I'm thankful that we have a God of a second chance. I think of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 3, that it says the potter went down to the potter's house, and he put the clay, the piece of clay on the wheel, and he turned that on the potter's wheel, and he saw that in that piece of clay there was a place that was not good. There was a fault in that clay. So we all know what the potter did. He took that ball of clay and he wadded it up and he got himself a new ball of clay. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? Unless you have the reverse vision, or the revised version, or whatever it is. The Bible says that he took that piece of clay and he made it yet again another vessel. How many times in your life and in my life we have felt the hand of the potter making it yet again? How it delights the Lord. Someone has wisely said, you may have read this somewhere, but someone has wisely said there are three questions that we need to ask. Three questions we need to ask in time of failure. Number one, Lord, what can I learn through this? Number two, Lord, how can I grow through this? And number three, Lord, how can you be glorified through this? Those three questions. Lord, what can I learn through this? Lord, how can I grow through this? And Lord, how can you be glorified through this? So then when the going gets tough, remember first of all that our focus is not perfection, but progress. Progress in the Christian life. And that is so important, so important. The big question is not will I fail? The question is when I fail, how do I fall, backward or forward? In closing this morning, Jude 24, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you see the principle brought out there? First of all, he is able to keep you from falling. That's progress. That's progress. and to present you faultless. That's perfection. And then again in 1 John 3, 2 and 3, as we have read, in verse 2, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's perfection. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How are you doing in your Christian walk? Are you progressing? Are you walking with the Lord? Oh, you say, I've been saved for many... Dear friends, listen this morning. Not asking you how long you've been saved. Not asking you how long you've walked with God. I'm asking you, how far have you walked with God? You know, dear friends, many of us here this morning could boast of walking a long time with God, but can we boast of walking very far with God? And someone has wisely said that we need to understand how important living a victorious Christian life is, because it's not the duration but the donation of your life that really counts. And you know, unless we are willing to fall forward in our Christian life and let God deal with our sin and humble us and go on with him, we're not going to accomplish anything for God, no matter what else we have. So when the going gets tough, number one, remember that right now the goal is not, the priority, I should say, is not perfection, but progress. And so let's just be doing that. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, this morning, this is where we all live. We all struggle with these things in our lives. In the daily routine of our walk with you, we have spiritual battles. We often are defeated, and we have to ask forgiveness. Oh, dear God, today, help us, we pray, to not fall backward, but to fall forward, and to maintain our reading and study of your word and prayer, fellowship with believers, seeking to do your will and to honor you, dear God, because that's what you want for us. And someday, we will be like you, for we shall see you as you are. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.